Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
As we are moving towards Easter, I thought it would be it would behoove us to look at some of the articles and elements of the crucifixion. And you know, last week, y'all really got excited when you heard I was going to be preaching on the hyssop branch. Remember that? Yeah, you tried to forget it, didn't you? But all of these things, that, and probably next week, I'm thinking about preaching on the robe. And I know next week is, you know, Palm Sunday and all that. But these articles tell us a lot about the cross. And this morning I want us to look at the signboard. The signboard through the eyes of John. And we're going to get a bird's eye view. Y'all know what the signboard was, right? That was that placard or that sign that was posted over the head of Jesus on the vertical piece of the cross for all to see. So, we're going to hear about that account through John's eyes and through John's gospel. We're in John chapter 19. Now, Matthew describes this signboard as an accusation. Luke and Mark describe it as an inscription, but John calls it a title. Now, all four different gospel accounts are a little bit different. But you know, that's okay, because we see that all the time. You know, you'll hear different eyewitness accounts from a news reporter. Several news reporters. Same scene, same account, same everything, except they're looking at it through different perspectives. And that's the gospel accounts that we have of the signboard. And the signboard is a tremendous piece of evidence of what the meaning and the purpose of the cross was all about. So let's look at John chapter 19. Starting at verse 19. And if you can, one more time, let's honor God's Word by standing. I want to invite you to stand if you can. If you can't, that's okay. You just honor God's Word as best you can. John 19 and verse 19. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write, the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. I want to ask my dear wife, would you ask God to bless the reading and the preaching and the teaching of His Word today? Thank you. Yes. Amen. Thank you. Did you hear that she just prayed that we would retain? Larry Robertson, pastor of Hilldale Baptist Church, had a post on Facebook that said that your congregation, he was sent to pastors, and he said, brothers, just want you to know, your congregation is going to forget everything you said today 7 minutes after they've heard it. 7 minutes. Isn't that amazing? So, I know y'all are not that way though, right? But I appreciate your prayer there. We need to retain and keep and meditate and chew on God's Word. Whenever we read it, whenever we teach it, and whenever we preach it. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the signboard. Look at your neighbor and say, oh boy, I can't wait. All right, I've caused half of us to lie in here already. It was customary for an officer, anytime someone was being led away to be crucified, they would be led out to the crucifixion site, and there was always an officer who would hold up this placard or this signboard, and it stated the crime that they had committed was the reason behind for their crucifixion. Well, Jesus was being led through the city streets of Jerusalem, and there was an officer that was holding up this signboard, this placard, and it read, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And then they got outside of the city, out on top of a hill called Skull Hill, Golgotha, and when they raised that cross up with Jesus on it, they had nailed that placard, that signboard, above his head on the vertical piece going this way for everyone to see it. So everybody coming into town saw that sign. Now, remember, it was Passover week. And so there's thousands of people coming in town and going out of town. And so everyone saw that signboard. And the signboard is important because it gives us the meaning and the purpose behind the cross. Are y'all with me? First thing I want to point out to you is that the signboard reminds us that the cross is controversial. The cross is controversial. Let me read again verse 21 for you there in John 19. "Therefore, the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather he said, I am the King of the Jews.' And Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.'" Now there's quite a bit of controversy going on between Pilate and the Jewish leaders. Now, there were thousands of Jews in town. Let me remind you of that again. For Passover in the holy city during this time. And the high priest and other leaders had been plotting for months to arrest Jesus and to have him killed. And so when their plan began to come to fruition, the Jewish leaders had to deal with Pilate, who was the Roman governor. And Pilate wanted to set Jesus free. He knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that Jesus wasn't guilty of anything. And you do know that Jesus was guilty of one thing. He was guilty of loving you and me. Now Jesus had presented himself over and over again to his people, to the Jewish people, as their Messiah, as their long-awaited king. The Jews had been praying for years for their Messiah to come. And when Jesus showed up, John 1:11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Isn't that a tragedy? And yet people are still rejecting him as their Messiah and King today. I sure hope and pray that today would be the day of salvation if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Now, the Jews, the leadership, the high priest and the other priest and the scribes, they're all tickled to death because Jesus is now going to be crucified. And as they're being led through the city streets of Jerusalem, and the officer holds up that signpost that reads, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," don't you know that fury began to run through their hearts? They were upset. "He's not our king. We need to have that changed." So they sent a delegation of people to Pilate and said, "You need that. This is not what that placard needs to read. It needs to read, 'He said he was the King of the Jews.'" And Pilate looked at them and said, he saw this as his opportunity. See, he really wanted to set Jesus free. But he's like a lot of compromising politicians. He caved in to the pressure. But now he sees an opportunity to kind of irritate these people. And he said, "What I have written, I have written." And I want to tell you, that leads to an even larger truth for us here this morning. The story of your life is being written right now. The story of your life and mine is being written right now. Moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Are you happy with the way the story of your life is being written? And let me tell you, one of these days, everybody's going to read the story of your life. It's going to be open for everyone to see and hear. Are you happy with the way the story of your life is being written? And when your life is over, it cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. Are you living, looking for that blessed hope and the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you living for the Lord's glory and honor and praise? Are you a witness for Him wherever you go and wherever you are? What does the story of your life look like this morning? Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you don't like the way the story of your life looks and the way it's being written, guess who needs to change it? You can, because the Holy Spirit can. He's the only one. I have so many people tell me, well, I'd come to Christ. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get saved. It's just not right. Well, what are you waiting on? Well, I've got to get my life cleaned up. Let me tell you something. You'll never get your life cleaned up. Amen. Only Jesus can clean your life up. He's the only one that can give you a new heart. He's the only one that can give you new life. Look at your neighbor and say, He's all about new life. Amen. Now the cross is controversial, and that's what this signboard reminds us of. The cross is controversial. Jesus was the rejected king. Oh, here comes a little lightning and thunder to put down an exclamation point this morning. All right. Who is Jesus to you? Answer that question for me. Who is Jesus to you? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the King? I want to tell you, He's King whether you crowned Him or not. One of these days, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to tell you, today is the day to crown Him. And you do know He's coming again, don't you? And when He comes again, He's not coming on a cross. He's coming with a crown. Many crowns. And He's coming to... Well, I don't know how to say it any other way but this. You will crown Him as King one day. Whether you've done that or not, but you need to do it right now. Because when He comes again and you have not received Him as Lord and Savior, He will be your judge. He will be your judge. And so that signboard reminds us that the cross is controversial. You know, people today, y'all, still don't want to hear about a blood-stained cross. They don't want to hear about how Jesus He's not the kind of Savior the Jews were looking for. And to be honest with you, He's really not the kind of Lord and Savior most folks are looking for here today. We want our own manufactured type of Savior. We build idols and make idols and da-da-da-da-da. That's another sermon for another time. But that signboard reminds us that the cross is controversial. What was that? Something fell off of here. Anyways, the signboard secondly reminds us that the cross is universal. Now look at verse 19. This is interesting. Look at verse 19. Stay with me now. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Verse 20, are you with me? Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And now you have all these people coming in and out of town, and the message of the signboard was it was in three languages. The three main languages of the day, so that everybody could understand who this man was. So that everyone could understand that He was Lord and He is King. Now, let me kind of explain it like this. That inscription, that title was written, first of all, in Hebrew. Now, Hebrew was the language of the Hebraic people. Most of the conservative, fanatical Jewish leaders, they all spoke Hebrew. That was the language of religion. And how many of you know that Jesus is Lord religiously? He has the last word on religion, and He has the last word on salvation. And so it was written in the Hebrew language, the language of religion of the day, so that everyone could know that Jesus is Lord religiously. But it was also written in Greek. Now, hundreds of years before Alexander the great young leader who by the time he was 27 had conquered the entire known world, and Greek became the language of the masses. Greek was the language of the Gentiles. Greek was the language of culture. Jesus is not only Lord religiously, He is Lord culturally. And any culture that is without Christ is chaotic, it's crude, it's in a mess. You see, anybody with me? I mean, I don't care if you're sitting in a box opera seat at the opera house, eating caviar and wearing glasses at the end of a stick. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't understand what culture is all about. It is Christ that makes culture beautiful. Can I get a word of amen to that? It is Christ that makes a culture beautiful. And so this signboard reminds us that the message of the cross is universal. Jesus is Lord religiously and He's Lord culturally. But then the signboard was also written in Latin. How many of y'all had Latin? Isn't that an awful language? Terrible. Latin was the language of the Romans. It was the language of law and government. Are y'all with me? And so, you know, in order to understand the laws and government and all of that was written in Latin. And so the Romans could even understand that Jesus was Lord politically. I want to ask you a question today. Where do our laws come from? Laws didn't come from man. Law comes from God. The law was handed down to us from the Lord God many, many, many years ago. And I want to tell you, the law was put in place, the Bible says, as a schoolmaster to show us how far short we are. You see, the law says, God's laws, His standard of behavior is perfection. Amen. Somebody say, oh me. You see, His standard of behavior is perfection. And there's only one who lived up to the law, and His name is Jesus. And so He is Lord politically. That's the message of the signboard, and that's the message of the cross, that it's universal. Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The message of the cross is for everyone. But not only is the message of the cross universal in its application, it's universal in its invitation. I like this. The message of the signboard was written so that everyone would know that Jesus is Lord. The message of the Bible, y'all know this, is whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. Aren't you glad that Jesus invites anyone and everyone to come? I don't care who you are. Listen to me. I don't know who this is for. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care who you've done it with. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. So much so that He paid the price for all of your sin. Every one of them. He paid the price. He became the sacrifice. He is the payment for God. He satisfied God's wrath for my sin and for yours. Jesus paid the price in full. Nothing else we can do to get it. It comes by grace through faith. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect, sinless life so that I could be set free from my sin. I can go free now. God will never haul me back into His courtroom and say, "Hup, you've done it again. Guilty. It's back to hell you go." No, sir. You've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. You've been canceled. All sins are canceled. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And so this message of the cross is universal for everyone because, hey, guess what? We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. We're sinners, short of the glory of God. But I've come here today to tell you, whosoever will may come. Whoever wants to can come. Whether you're rich, hey, if you're a rich person, you can come to Jesus today. If you're poor, you can be saved today. If you're young, bless God, you ought to come today. And if you're old, bless God, you only got a few days left. Come to Jesus. Anybody can be saved. The uneducated, the educated. If you've got more degrees in front of your name than Dr. Fahrenheit, you can be saved. Today, you can be saved. The message of the cross is universal. Aren't you thankful that Jesus died to save everybody? Amen. Hallelujah. And now, not everybody's going to be saved. You know that. Only those who come to Him His way. There's only one way. It's through the blood of Jesus. Glory to His name. So that signboard reminds us that the cross is controversial. And it is. It still is today. That cross, that message of the signboard is also reminds us that the cross is universal. But it also reminds us the cross is personal. Personal. Now, having said all that, let me say this. Go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Now, how many of you... The cross reminds us that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Say relationship with me. Relationship. It's really not about religion. It's about a relationship, a personal relationship. Now, there were two thieves, two criminals crucified on either side of Jesus. And most of those criminals, as they were coming through the street to the crucifixion site, as I told you, they had an officer holding up their crimes that they had committed that was leading to their crucifixion. Well, those two thieves had an officer that was led to the crucifixion. And that's what their charge was. They were guilty. They were thieves. They had stolen. But you know what? Stop to think about this. There were no crimes on the Lord's placard. Why? He committed no crimes. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. There were no crimes on His placard, on His signboard, because He committed... Was it for crimes that I had... He groaned upon the amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Jesus paid the price for every single one of us, paid in full. And you've got these two thieves on either side of Jesus. Now listen to this. Luke chapter 23, are you there? Look at verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed Him, saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other thief answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord," where'd he get that from? The signboard. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He knew Jesus was a king. Where did he get that from? The signboard. You see, that thief was saved by reading a verse of Scripture. Have you ever stopped to think about that? This just hit me this week. This thief was saved by placing his faith and trust in the Word of God. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And so he said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, when it comes time for you to die, would you please remember me? We try to make something so hard out of salvation. We try to complicate it. And we get people confused. But brothers and sisters, the message of the cross is simple. He said, remember me when you come into the kingdom. Now, I believe he got that from the signboard. That's how he knew Jesus was a king. And he said, Lord, I want to be with you. You're my king. Remember me. And remember what Jesus said? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. You think about that thief. He had breakfast with the devil and wound up having supper with the Savior that day. Did y'all hear what I said? He was this close to dying. This close to death. And the Lord looked at his heart and he confessed with his mouth, remember me. I believe. You're the king. You're my king. And today, Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. I can't think of anything any better from somebody. And you may be here. I'm going to tell you what, the results of this weekend reminded me again. We have no clue what's around the corner. We have no idea what might happen tomorrow. I did the funeral yesterday of a lady who used to be our head housekeeper at the Best Western. She and I worked together. And I haven't seen Helga Flagg in probably 29 years. But I was the only preacher she knew. And so she asked Sykes Funeral Home. She said, I'd like for Cal Hampton to come do my son's funeral. She said, but I don't know where he is. And Amy said, well, I know where he is. He's back in town. And so they called me. And I met the family Friday evening and found out that her 40-year-old son had taken his life. I never got to share the gospel with Tommy, but I got to share the gospel yesterday with his whole family. And I want to tell you, you don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know who holds tomorrow. And if I were you, I'd do like this thief did. You don't have to eat breakfast with the devil anymore. You can have supper with the Savior. If you'll turn to Him today by grace through faith, you can leave here singing today, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. Oh, Father, that would be my prayer, that we would be happy all the day, because we have found Jesus. He is the answer to all of our problems. He is the solution to anything that we've got to go through. There are people here today that could give testimony of that very thing. And this morning, Lord, as we are approaching Easter, we are ever reminded of the sacrifice that your Son made. And so, Lord, during this time of response, this time of invitation, God, would you get us past this business of worrying what somebody else might say or think? Oh, God, rid us of that garbage and help us to take our stand for Jesus. Some folks here right now need to take their stand publicly for Jesus and come to an altar and pray like that thief did, "Lord, remember me," and be wonderfully and gloriously saved. There are others here, Father, that have been saved and yet never followed you in believer's baptism, have never taken their stand for you. Jesus walked 80 miles to be baptized, and we're not going to walk 80 feet. Oh, help that one or two or ten here who needs to make that decision today. And Lord, there are many here that probably need a church home, need a pastor, need a loving family, need to come. And there are others, Father, that just simply need to come pray. You do what you do. Only you can do during this time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.